Welcome to Audio Articles. I'm Chris, the editor of the Articles Ministry at Crossroads Church. On our site, we have hundreds of articles answering the biggest questions of faith and offering biblical wisdom for the unique life situations that we all find ourselves in. But sometimes reading isn't super fun, so we created this weekly podcast to give your eyes a break and have the author of each article read their work to you. However you're tuning in, we thank you for joining and hope you enjoyed today's reading. Let's go.
I read 10 books on prayer, so you don't have to, by Donnie Black. I read 10 books on prayer, so you don't have to, and gained 3 powerful insights. This journey started about a year ago, when the phrase, explode your prayer life, randomly popped into my head. My initial response was, that doesn't even make sense. Explode? Like, destroy my prayer life? Should I stop praying? I shook it off and went about the rest of my day. But the thought wouldn't stay shaken. And after a bit of pondering, and of course, praying, I realized this was an invitation from God to take off the life vest and arm floaties and go deeper into the waters of prayer. I was a little intimidated by this prompting. I thought I had a decent prayer life and was content with it. I wasn't sure if I was ready to commit to such a large chunk of my already limited time to this endeavor. Despite some of my hesitancy, though I knew I was open to change, I wanted an intimate relationship with Jesus. Prayers answered, in a rich spiritual life that inspires others. How would I get there? I remember hearing that if you read 10 books in any subject, you become an expert in that topic. So that became my entry point. I went on Google and searched books on prayer, and oh boy, there was a lot of results. So many that my current Goodreads want to read list can now fill a small public library. Eventually, though, I chose a diverse selection of books on prayer based on the date written, country of origin, denomination, and specific topic in prayer. Here's a list in no particular order. 1. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools by Tyler Stanton. 2. Beholding, Deepening Our Experience in God by Strawn Coleman. 3. What If Jesus Was Serious About Prayer by Sky Gittani. 4. The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. 5. Praying the Rosary Like Never Before by Edward Seery. 6. The Way of the Heart by Henry Nouwen. 7. Pray in the Spirit by Arthur Wallace. 8. Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. 9. Raising Prayerful Kids by Stephanie Thurling and Sarah Holstrom. 10. Praying Successfully by Charles Spurgeon. After finalizing my list, however, I realized it was one thing to read and a whole other thing to actually put the books and ideas into practice. So part two of my plan was to pray more. A lot more. I began to actively place myself in contexts that required me to pray more. I joined the weekend prayer team at my church, volunteered in a prayer tent at a camp retreat, took classes on prayer, and volunteered to pray anytime someone asked for prayer in any situation. I work at said church that I attend, so it happens a lot. So after a year and a half of reading, practicing, and well, praying, I've come across 3 common themes and practices that I believe can help anyone get their prayer life out of the kiddie pool and down to the giant funnel slide. That's where explosions happen, right? Number 1, prayer is a relationship. Jesus wants to hear from us. He also wants us to hear from him. It's easy to think of prayer as just another thing on our list of to-dos for the day, but prayer is a conversation with God who loves you. It allows us to talk to the creator of you and me about anything and everything. That's how any relationship grows. As I started to dig deep into my prayer journey, I found that my typical posture in prayer was quantity focused. I felt like I needed to pray for a long time for it to count and for God to listen. It's a trend as old as time. I even started to add filler sentences just to rack up extra minutes. Then I would say, amen, and go back to my phone, meal, or whatever else I was seeming wanting to be doing more. I left no room to listen to see if God had something to say, or if I did, it would be for only a few seconds. I learned in my reading and prayer time that it's not about how much I'm saying in prayer. My prayers can be short. It's about creating a space for God and me to be together and listen to one another. Imagine a friendship where one person never lets the other speak. Wouldn't work out long term or be a very life-giving relationship, would it? So I started being brief in my prayers. Not because God doesn't want to hear my long ramblings, he does, but so that I can give him the time to respond to the individual things I'm saying. I'd say something, then I would wait, and wait some more. And then, after it felt a little awkward, I would ask Jesus, is there anything you want to tell me? Periodically, I would hear something in the form of an answer. Other times, it would be silence. But the more I practiced speaking and then pausing to listen, the more I would hear from God, which can be confusing sometimes, and that's okay. Every now and then, Jesus would point me to a specific passage in Scripture, and other times, I would catch things for him like yes or no. As I began to pray more intentionally and listen more closely, I heard God's response more clearly. This took time and a lot of patience. But what healthy relationship doesn't require these things? If you carve out time, make your prayers brief, and then wait, you might be surprised by how God shows up. I think professor and theologian Henry Nouwen best articulated it in his book, The Way of the Heart. For many of us, prayer means nothing more than speaking with God. And since it usually seems to be quite one-sided affair, prayer simply means talking to God. This idea is enough to create frustration. If I present a problem, I expect a solution. If I formulate a question, I expect an answer. If I ask for guidance, I expect a response. And when it seems, increasingly, that I am talking into the dark, it is not so strange that I soon begin to suspect that my dialogue with God is in fact a monologue. Then I may begin to ask myself, am I really speaking? God or myself? This crisis of our prayer life is that our mind may be filled with ideas of God while our heart remains far from Him. 2. Know your scripture. All 10 books on prayer I read emphasize the importance of knowing the Bible. Initially, I dreaded this part of my journey, not because I dislike the Bible, but because memorizing scripture can be intimidating. It reminded me of taking tests in school. I could never remember the capital of South Dakota or when the Huns invaded Rome. Regardless of these challenges, I learned that reading scripture, learning its stories, and internalizing its teachings is one of the most powerful tools we have in prayer. The Bible equips us to learn God's voice, pray according to His will, and combat the lies the enemy will tell us. Whenever we question whether the voice we hear is truly God or our imagination, Scripture provides clarity. If we hear a word or a voice and wonder if it could be God or Satan, we can test it against the Bible. If Scripture can affirm the words we hear, there's a good chance it's God. And the more we know verses and passages off the top of our heads, the quicker we can make this distinction. Scripture also teaches us to pray with God's will, empowering us to pray confidently and authoritatively. Rather than requesting healing with uncertainty with phrases like, Lord, heal this person, you know, if it's your will. Knowing scripture helps us to pray boldly, assured of God's intentions and promise. For example, we know God's will for us is to pray for healing over the sick because he instructed his disciples to do it in Matthew 10, verse 8. We know God's will is to comfort those who are going through incredibly difficult seasons of life because Psalm 147, verse 3 talks about how he heals the brokenhearted. And we know it is God's will to bless us, as the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:19. When we pray for ourselves or others, we know God wants to do these things for us. Sometimes it just takes us to ask for it and know he has the power and ability to deliver on his promise. Maybe God will say yes. Maybe he'll say no. Maybe he'll say, not yet, but we won't know unless we ask. Did you know Jesus had scripture memorized? And he didn't just keep its words in his brain. He prayed them. While on the cross, he prayed Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote of the importance of praying the words of the scripture in his book, Psalms, the prayer book of the Bible. We pray this Psalm 22 not on the basis of our fortuitous personal suffering, but on the basis of the suffering of Christ, who has also come upon us. But we also hear Jesus Christ pray with us, and through him, that Old Testament king, and repeating this prayer without being able to experience it or consider it in its deepest sense. We nevertheless walk with the praying Christ before the throne of God. This is an area I'm still growing in. I've got a little more structured reading plan of the Bible that changes as my interests change. In this way, what I'm reading matches the interest I'm pursuing. I've also downloaded a Bible verses memorization app. I'm still slow to learn, but I'm putting in the work, and I've seen bigger mountains move in my prayer life and seen more healing than ever by praying with all the powerful words and wisdom that come from the Bible. 3. Prayer is a lifestyle. One final thing became abundantly clear to me through all this. One final thing became abundantly clear to me through all those found explosive prayer lives. Their daily commitment to prayer wasn't just another religious tradition to complete, but was as essential as breathing for them. Almost every one of the books I read referenced the practice of the presence of God, whose author, Brother Lawrence, was a 17th century monk in France. Outside of the Bible, in my research, this book is clearly the most influential to those with a rich prayer life. Here's an excerpt from the Frenchman's work that I believe encapsulates his whole philosophy on a life of prayer. We must try to converse with God in little ways while we do our work, not in memorized prayer, not trying to recite previously formed thoughts. Rather, we should purely and simply reveal our hearts as the words come to us. Brother Lawrence wasn't listed as an amazing theologian during his day. He was merely the dishwasher at the monastery where he worked. About as every man as you can get, like me. And that reality gives me hope that attaining some faux elite status of Christendom isn't the path to a prayer life. It's a commitment to the discipline and practice. As the Apostle Paul put it, we ought to pray without ceasing. And I don't think he means we ought to spend 12 hours a day sitting in our special chair with a candle lit and a prayer journal in hand. It's about, in all things, pray. Pray over the work that you're doing at your job that it would glorify God. Pray for the ambulance you see driving by for healing and peace. Pray with gratitude for a beautiful walk on a busy day. And pray for community and friendship when you are lonely. As we teach our minds to respond with prayer in every situation, it becomes second nature and allows us to see and hear God in new and wonderful ways. My days are now filled with little glimpses of heaven and hope as I find myself more connected to God in the practice of praying whenever it comes to mind. The Prince of Preachers himself, Charles Spurgeon, nailed it on the head when he wrote, "Wherever you work, you can pray. Whenever you lie sick, you can pray. There is no place to which you can be banished where God is not near. And there is no time of day or night where his throne is inaccessible." A beautiful letdown. After 457 days, I found myself at the end of the journey of reading 10 books on prayer. Did I complete my task of exploding my prayer life? At first, I was a bit disappointed. I thought I checked the right boxes, I did the required reading, listened to the podcasts, took the classes, and even prayed a lot. But I wasn't feeling the supernatural vigor to get down on my knees and pray every 30 seconds like I thought I would. Was I supposed to read 10,000 books instead of 10? After my letdown subsided, though, I learned perhaps the most crucial piece of all this. Exploding my prayer life is more of a daily practice than a final destination. As much as I would love to have reached some self-constructed pinnacle of prayer that not even Mother Teresa could have touched, I was humbled to realize there is no A-team of prayer. No shiny sticker prize, no double rainbow in the sky, and definitely no pot of gold. The point of getting better at prayer is so I can partake in God's will for us, as Jesus expresses in prayer during the Last Supper. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John chapter 17, verse 3. Knowing God more every day is my objective in all of this. He's still calling me to swim further and further into deeper waters where my toes can't touch the bottom. The things I discussed in this article are only the first page of the introduction to the longer prayer story I've experienced. Still, I believe these are the three core tenets that move you from a passive prayer life into an active prayer life. And at the end of the day, knowing God more. That said, the only fitting way to end this, I believe, is in prayer. Father, thank you for today and all of its many blessings. Give us fresh eyes, fresh ears, and a fresh mind to witness the works you are doing in our lives. Continue to draw us into deeper waters so that we will rely on you and not ourselves. I ask that everyone who hears this article seeking to know you more receives double what they expected. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Audio Articles. Find all of our written and audio articles at crossroads.net/articles or click the link in this episode's description. Make sure to subscribe so you get the alert right away when the next episode comes out. We will see you next time.